Good morning, everyone. That was definitely the most interesting interpretation of that Bible passage I've ever seen. But it was a good one. Thank you all for sharing that with us. So we are, always, as always, excited to be together. I know I'm excited to be with you all, to be in God's Word again today. Please grab your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll be praying together in just a moment, asking the Lord to lead our time as we always do. But first of all, I just wanted to mention something, ask maybe if you've been noticing a pattern like I have. We've been going through Colossians basically one verse at a time recently, and every week we're looking at a new picture of what it looks like to put on the new self, to put on the Lord Jesus, to make our life more like Him. Every week, a new picture or a group of pictures. But I've been kind of noticing that there's another theme happening at the same time. And that is that all of these pictures we're looking at have to do with our relationships. Isn't that fascinating? If you're in Colossians chapter 3, just go back briefly and look at this with me. Verse 12, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's all about how we're treating each other. Verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Are we forgiving? How are we treating one another? Verse 14, put on love. It's the perfect bond. It's the perfect ligament. Again, it's about our relationships. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. So now we're bringing in our relationship with the Lord, having His peace in our hearts. Do I have peace with God? And do I have peace with myself? Have I forgiven myself? And it's all in one body. So again, it's all about our relationships. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, teaching and admonishing one another. There it is. Are we helping each other grow in these things? Are we encouraging one another in it? Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So as I'm traveling throughout the world, serving others about His business, I'm to let others know that God loves them, that God is interested in their lives, and He wants to be a part of their lives. So again, it's about others. Then we talked about wives and husbands and their relationship with one another. So isn't it fascinating, all of these different pieces of becoming more like Christ have to do with our relationships, not only with Him, but with each other. So this morning, we're going to keep going, and we're going to see the exact same thing. We're going to go a little bit faster today. I know we've only been doing one verse at a time, but we're going to look actually at four more relationships or four more roles that the Lord has put us all in. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that if we will listen to the Lord in these different life roles He's given us and obey Him in them, even though it doesn't come naturally for us, it doesn't come easy for us, I believe that's what will help change us more and more into His image, so that we'll look more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be talking now, this morning, we're going to hit children, fathers, slaves, and masters. Four more relationships that Paul talks about right here at the end of the chapter. Let's pray together before we begin. Lord, we're just so excited to be together today. Father, it's already been just a wonderful time to be a church family. Lord, to worship You, to just encourage one another, just be together. Lord, how we thank you for this time. And now as we turn our attention specifically to your book, the Bible, we just pray, Father, that you will give us great insight, great understanding. Lord, use these different relationships and roles in our lives to make us more like you. Lord, use us to rub the rough edges off of each other so that we'll come out shiny gold, shiny gems made more like the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so start with verse 20. The first one's about children. It says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." So first relationship is we think about our children. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought a lot about this, but I'm always amazed at how long little children are dependent on their parents. I mean, it's just a long time, and seriously dependent. If you are in a car crash, you and your husband don't make it, your little one-year-old won't make it either unless they find someone else to take care of them. And this goes on for a long time. I was just thinking about it a lot, so I looked up a couple of different animals. A whale, for example. They're with mom and dad, or maybe it's just mom, 4 to 11 months. I mean, this thing is ginormous, big as this building. 4 to 11 months, they're on their own. A deer, 1 year. A lion, 2 years. An eagle, 1 to 2 months. Now, there are a few animals that are with their parents a little bit longer, but we as humans are the longest. I just find that interesting. You know, that little deer is going to, the day it's born, it's going to be up. It's going to be running circles around mom, probably. It just happens fast. I just wonder if the Lord doesn't have a lesson for us in this, that he wants us to learn something important from our parents. And obvious, and he says so right here, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things." Now, you know as well as I do that that does not come naturally. It just doesn't come naturally. But I believe if we are willing to listen to the Lord in these different life relationships and submit to his plan for us, it will really change us more into his image. The next one we see is fathers. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Okay, that just doesn't come naturally to us, Dad, a lot of the time. A father obviously is supposed to lead and instruct his children and bring them up to be wise, mature young people. But he has limitations on that authority. He is not, how did it say exactly? Not to exasperate them. So a father has to deal with his children in a wise way, an understanding way, leading them and teaching them by example instead of just brute force, even though he's a lot bigger. And I believe if we as fathers learn to do that with our children, we learn to have patience with them and train them in other ways, that it will change us. The next one mentioned here is slaves. Verse 22, "Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord." Isn't that interesting? A slave is not just to consider that they're serving an earthly master, but when they're serving, they're actually serving as if they were serving the Lord himself. And that's fascinating. Now, I know a lot of people, let's just do a little side note here and talk about this for a moment. Because many people will read this verse in the Bible and they'll kind of gasp or reject the Bible because they'll say, wait a minute, God supports slavery? That's terrible. And then they want to throw the book out. But we know for sure God does not support slavery from so many other places in the Bible. For example, his chosen people were slaves in Egypt. And God went to Egypt and brought them out with a lot of powerful miracles. He judged the nation of Egypt because they would not let his people go. Judged every one of their gods. In the end, he even drowned the whole Egyptian army for the slavery that they had brought on those people. And there's so many other things from the Bible that show us God does not support slavery. For example, we know we're all made in God's own image. So we all have value because of that. We're valuable because we're made in the image of God. It doesn't matter what the color of our skin is. So I don't have time to go into a lot more details. I do know there's a letter written. Paul wrote to Philemon, basically asking him to release his slave who had become a Christian. There are just a lot of things in the Bible that help us see this. If you remember when we were going through the process of making slavery illegal, it was Christians that were at the forefront of that effort to make slavery illegal. So I don't believe that God supports slavery in the least. What is happening here? Paul is writing to a world where slavery is the common practice. It is practiced everywhere. And he is trying to help them learn some godly lessons from the different roles that they're in. And he speaks not only to slaves, but he speaks to the masters. We'll get to their verse down in chapter 4 in just a moment. But when he's speaking to those slaves, he says, you're not just serving men. You are serving God himself. Serve that way. I think the closest thing that you and I have to this here in American culture is employers and employees. You know, and so I believe we can look at this verse. If you're an employee, I believe you should look at this verse and you should go, okay, when I'm working for my boss, I'm not just working for him. I am working for the Lord. And so you should be the most amazing employee, the best employee your boss has ever had. Right? You should work harder. You should be more honest than any employee he has ever had. I believe that's what God is asking us to do here. And then drop on down. I want you to see the one that's written to masters, chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. So Paul's writing this to a group of people where slavery was so common, and they did to those slaves whatever they wanted. They had no rights. They couldn't take their master to court. They could do to them whatever they wanted, I think even to the point of having them put to death. They had no rights whatsoever. And Paul's writing to change that picture. So once again, when it comes to slaves and masters, these things just don't come naturally to us. If you're a slave, it's easy to feel justified in cheating your master out of time. It's easy to feel justified in maybe stealing from your master. Oh, he's rich. He shouldn't be treating me this way. All sorts of excuses like that. God says, in spite of that, we should serve them well. And as a master, I think it's easy, at least from the stories that I've read. I've never experienced it. But I have read stories about masters who were, they just thought they could do whatever they wanted with their slaves. And God's reminding them, no, you have a master in heaven. And so you should think about this before you do anything crazy, before you do anything that would be hurtful or harmful to your servants. So I just think that the Lord's telling us here, if we will live differently in all these different life roles, that it will change us, radically change us more into the image of Christ. I'd like to just give you a few examples. Several of them are from my own experience. One I couldn't come up with from my own experience, so I'm going to pull one out of the Bible. But let's just talk about children for a moment. You know, children obey your parents. So I remember when Kathy and I were first married, we were both kind of thinking, I don't know if we want to have children. You know, we just saw how hard it was. We saw how rebellious they could be. You know, we'd be in the supermarket and some kid would be screaming at their mom at the top of their voice, you know, pulling stuff off the shelf and dropping it on the floor. Mom would maybe snatch them out of the carpet and go dragging them out of the store. All sorts of crazy things. And we're thinking, I don't know if we want to have children. Then one day, we went to the home of one of our pastors, one of our elders at church. Names were Jack and Joan. And I can't remember exactly how many children they had. I thought it was like they had three already. I know they have more than that now. I think Kathy remembers them only having one or two. Anyhow, they had a couple of children there at that dinner. And we all sat down to eat dinner together. And it was the most amazing experience. These little children put their food on their plate. They ate it with their fork and their knife. They entered into our conversation. They asked questions. They were polite. They looked you in the eye when they spoke to you. After dinner, we talked some more. They went off to play. It was an incredible experience. And Kathy and I got in the car, and as we drove away, we looked at each other and we went, if we can have children like that, we want to have children. And then, as we loved this church family, by the way, that was just a really unique experience for us up when we lived up in Maryland. They began to teach us things like how the Bible says children are a gift from God. Children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. How blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them. And so the Lord blessed Kathy and I to have four children of our own, and they now have children of their own, and we are so thankful for all of that. Because I just believe God has changed us through it. He has changed us through it. Then I'll just go to the example of fathers. I'll never forget the day. I was part of this church family up in Maryland. I was a teenager, I'm guessing 19 or 20 years old. Could have been 21. Anyhow, right in that area. And so we were meeting on the University of Maryland campus. It's this giant school up there in Maryland. And the church had moved here and started a new church. And so they were using the campus for their church meetings. They would rent or sign up for a classroom, and then we'd go in and have a Bible study. So one of the elders is teaching. His name is Mike. There's a group of us young people. There are like 30 of us, I believe, all in our 18 to 22, you know, age range, because we're in college. And so we're all sitting there. Mike is teaching. Something had come up for his wife that day, so that two of his little girls were there with him while he's teaching. Started the Bible study. It's been going for 5 or 10 minutes. Little girl starts making noise, talking to her sister, disrupting things. Mike looks down at her and he says, "Sweetheart, I need you to be quiet while we're having this Bible study." She settles down. Mike resumes teaching. In a few minutes, she starts again. Mike looks at the 30 of us and he says, "Guys, gals, excuse me for a minute. I need to help my daughter." He gently picks her up, takes her into the next room. I don't know what happened in the next room. I have some pretty good ideas because our church family talked a lot about how to raise children and child discipline and things like that. But I know in a couple of minutes, Mike and his daughter came back into the room. They were both smiling. That little girl sat down on that front row in front of her dad and drew and colored, and we finished and had a wonderful Bible study. Now, I am here to tell you, I have no idea what that Bible study was about all those years ago. But I will never forget the messages that Mike taught us that morning. And I believe that he taught his daughter. Because he was saying to his daughter, "Sweetheart, you're more important than 30 college students in my life. You're my number one priority." And you know what? He not only said it to her by what he did, but he said it to all of us. She was his number one priority, I believe second to his wife. But he cared about her. And I will always remember it. I am sure it had a much greater impact on all of those students there than whatever Bible study we happened to be doing that day. It changed our lives. It changed the way we saw the relationship between a father and his daughter and how all of that should happen. Let's go on to the next role. The next role is slaves. Slaves. I couldn't come up with one of these for my own life. But the first person that came to my mind from the Bible is Joseph. Joseph, remember? Joseph's brothers are jealous of him. So incredibly, they sell him to the Ishmaelites as a slave. In spite of his screaming for help, and brothers, don't do this, they still do it. So they drag him down to Egypt, sell him to this man named Potiphar. He becomes a slave in Potiphar's house. Joseph has every reason to be bitter, to be angry, to be upset with God. How could God allow this to happen in my life? I've been dragged away from my father, who loves me more than life itself, probably. And here I am, a slave in Egypt. He had every reason to have those attitudes. But you know what? Joseph so faithfully, loyally, enthusiastically served his master, a guy named Potiphar, that it's not very long before Joseph is in charge of everything in that house. Everything. We know that because at some point, evidently he was a pretty handsome guy, Potiphar's wife wants to fool around with him. And she keeps asking him. And he keeps declining her. And finally he says to her, my loose translation, "Listen, your husband has entrusted everything in this house to me except you. I cannot do this thing." So we know Joseph was doing everything in that house. God honored him. And then it happens again. The wife gets so jealous and furious with Joseph that she lies about him. He gets thrown in prison. It happens all over again. As Joseph just becomes a servant, changing lives, changing the lives of people all around him by the way that he lives. When I read that story, when I meditate on that story, and when I think about being someone's employee, man, it's motivating. I don't know how well I did, but that was my goal everywhere I worked, to be the best employee of that company. I believe that's what God wants from us. Masters, I kind of relate that to my employer experience. I had a few that I didn't like so much. I had one guy that was just angry. Not so much at me, because I worked really hard to, I bent over backwards to serve him. It was directed at me every now and then, but just mostly angry at the customers. So I eventually had to leave. I mean, I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to go looking for another job, but I eventually just had to leave. But I finally found a company. They're not called this anymore, but it was Herb Gordon Dodge up in Silver Spring, Maryland. Very large car dealership. And they just respected us. They called us the cream of the crop. They provided training. If employees were not getting along, we would go up into that man's office. I remember his name to this day, Steve Gray. And he would have us sit down and talk through things and work through things. They did everything they could to treat us well as employees. And it changed my whole outlook on what an employer could be like. By the way, I believe God's saying the same thing here to employers as he is to employees. I believe that's the closest thing we have to masters here in American culture. And so I believe if you're an employer, your ambition should be that you're the best employer that your workers have ever had. How can we become more like Christ? You know, it's easy not to see our own faults. It's easy just to get stuck in a rut and live in life. You know, people say people never change. You ever hear that expression? People never change, right? It's easy for that. It's easy to get stuck in a rut. It's easy to grow old, and we just never change. But I believe God has put all these things in our lives, all these different roles, all these different relationships. He's given us one another, and he just wants us to rub off those rough edges. And so I believe if we follow him in this, you know, whether it's as a child, a parent, a employee, an employer, a husband, a wife, just a fellow church member, whatever role you're in, I believe if we will listen to the Lord and not run from these things, but embrace them, that he will use them to change us, radically change us. I want to just end with a verse from 2 Corinthians, if you would turn there. I know we've read it together before, but let's read it one more time. This is a good one to memorize. Take with you on a daily basis. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But we all with unveiled face." Okay, God's taken off the blinders in Christ. If you're a Christian, he's removed many of the blinders. "We with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. That's what we want to happen in our lives, brothers and sisters. We want to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, on these principles that he's putting in front of us week after week, and just let him change us into his image. Please pray together with me. Father in heaven, I'm just so thankful. I feel so privileged, Lord, to be called a son of God, to be called a Christian. Lord, what a privilege that I would somehow carry your name, that we would carry your name, Lord. How I pray that you will do your miracles in our lives, Father. The miracle of remaking us into the image of Christ, filling us with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, etc. Lord, we just say, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. Do this work in each of our hearts and minds and lives today, we pray. In the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen.